Hello and good afternoon. You're listening to Raise the Vibe. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. Thank you for joining me today on the show. Super excited to have Jenna Rizdahl joining me via phone today up at Sunrise Ridge Studio. Jenna, how are you doing? Are you with me?
I am with you and I'm doing well. It's a gorgeous day.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to have you on the show. And we're going to be talking about your new campaign coming up around suicide prevention. But first, how about if you share a little bit for our listeners who don't know who you are on the island, a little bit about yourself?
I will do that. So I'm a long-term island resident, a retired psychologist and educator. I spent 25 years in education in the large urban school district, working mostly on getting more mental health resources for students in schools. I wrote a lot of federal grants, and I coordinated both the school counseling program and the homeless student education program. So both of those programs needed money, and that was part of my job to access funds for that. I led the crisis team in the district, and I taught graduate classes in school counseling and other things, and now I am the lead for the community care team, and I know we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yes.
My other current passion is training and evaluating therapy dog teams, so I work with the human-animal bond.
Nice. God, that's a lot of great work for our community. Thank you so much for everything that you've done. Thank you. And right now, as we all know, we're in the middle of the pandemic still. Things are kind of quieting down, but it's still going on, and there's still a lot of questions being asked. But you've been playing a role in Vashon Be Prepared. Can you talk about that a little bit, that CCT team?
Sure. Vashon Be Prepared, as you know, is the disaster coalition on the island, and most people know about that, and it has many different arms and branches. One of the branches is the Medical Reserve Corps, which takes care of the medical response to emergencies. They've done the testing protocol on the island, which they set up and serves as a model for rural communities. And it has four different parts to it. And one of the parts to the MRC, or the Medical Reserve Corps, is the Community Care Team, which is the team that I lead, and it's the Volunteer Counseling and Behavioral Health Unit. So we are charged with responding to medical and mental health needs during a public disaster. The CCT was created to add capacity for crisis intake, needs assessments, triage, resource information, individual and family support, and disaster-related emotional assistance during a disaster. So that's what we were tasked with, and we added a spiritual arm of CCT to meet the spiritual needs in the community as well. So it's a mental health, spiritual health team, and spiritual, we want to say, is intended broadly. It is not limited to and does not assume belief or religion. So the volunteers that we have on our team are licensed mental health practitioners and experienced spiritual care providers.
Wonderful. Great. Could you break down a little bit more about what CCT has done in response to COVID on Vashon?
Certainly. CCT was created in 2008, and we were prepared for a land disaster like an earthquake or a mudfall or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so in response to COVID, we created the idea of a virtual call line. We knew we couldn't meet people in a family assistance center, so we knew that there would be people that would have mental health issues and needed a crisis intervention approach. And we also have a spiritual health virtual call line as well. So there's two extensions on our call line. The Mental Health Extension offers confidential, no-cost crisis intervention with licensed and trained mental health professionals for up to 3 sessions. Because this is crisis intervention, it's not therapy, but we will refer people out if they need more assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual Health Extension offers confidential spiritual support from experienced spiritual care providers for up to 3 sessions as well. In addition to that, just to collate all the data from our team and do needs assessment, we set up a data collection survey. So we track the numbers, dates, times, calls received, the areas of concern, and referrals that we make. There's a lot more information that we track, but it's really good for Vashon to be prepared to have, as well as our team, to move forward. Then, to promote community awareness, we developed a postcard, which we mailed to all community members, listing the CCT helpline number and other Vashon Island resources, plus a few national resources like the suicide prevention hotline.
That's great.
And one of the main objectives to doing it this way, besides having a website all about CCT and information in other areas, is that not everybody is comfortable using the Internet, and we wanted to make sure all our island residents knew about the CCT.
Right.
So we did community awareness. You know, we published articles in the paper, and there were some things on Voice of Vashon. And we know that the postcard distribution was effective because initially 80% of the people that called the helpline were there because of the postcard.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was a successful campaign.
That's very successful. It's so hard to reach people on Vashon these days. What other outlets have you been using?
Well, we have the website, and that includes mental health resources, coping strategies, and spiritual health resources in forms of poems, prayers, and spiritual practices. So if people haven't viewed that yet, it's a beautiful website with lots of pictures, poems, spiritual practices, and a lot of them are by island residents. The photographs are by island residents, and so are a lot of the poems. We're also setting up Zoom and phone connection groups. These aren't therapy groups, but these are just helping people connect in these uncertain times when anxiety and stress and depression are on the rise. We did a needs assessment and found that isolated seniors were one of the most in need groups, so we're reaching out to them. We are just starting those groups right now. We put flyers and postcards in Meals on Wheels, the senior meals. It went out in the Senior Center newsletter. We've talked to Vashon Community Care about getting people to join these groups. And some of them aren't comfortable, obviously, on the Internet, so mm-hmm. We have a phone conferencing group and we have a Zoom group that we're starting. The other group that we found were parents. So we have a drop-in parenting class. That started 2 weeks ago through
great.
Zoom. And we have great facilitators for our groups. One's a retired psychiatrist, one's a retired psychologist, and school counselors leading the parenting group. So we found just amazing people on Vashon to work with such a depth of talents and skills.
Gosh, thank you so much. That seems it's quite the web that's reaching out to all those nooks and crannies on the island that, you know, really, you know, could use help. You know, on the island.
Yeah.
And thank you to everyone on the island that's participating in Vashon Be Prepared and all the little, you know, offshoots that are going on the island to help people through everything that's going on. And you too, Jenny.
And we did it. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You were saying?
Oh, we didn't want to leave out our essential workers and our first responders. So we sent out a brief essential worker survey to collect information from people who are on the front line, and we wanted to find out about compassion fatigue, secondary trauma, and burnout.
Right.
And what we found out, basically, from the respondents, was that people were stressed, yes, and they were feeling a little bit anxious, but they had good networks of support, and that was what we wanted to know. Did we need to support these people in any way?
Right.
So almost 100% said they had good support networks.
Oh, that's really good. Because having that good support network is really important when you're going through anything.
It is definitely important, yeah.
And let people know.
You know, connection is the number one thing that all around in times like this and just times in general.
Yes, connection, belonging. So many people are isolated at home, and not having that. So I'm glad that there's people who have set up Meals on Wheels and different programs for elderly on the island so they can still keep in touch and feel like, you know, they're not alone, because it really is hard being isolated.
It is. You know, the senior center delivers 150 meals a week to isolated seniors. And
wow.
That's not just delivering meals. It's connecting with people because they go there in person.
Right.
And they make calls over 100 a week to isolated seniors.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We have a very cool island.
We really do. I love
living
here.
I do too.
We really are blessed in so many ways. And there's so many people on island who want to step up and reach out and serve their community. We're really blessed.
That's what I found so incredible, was the number of people that would, we have many people, mental health practitioners on the island who are working full time, and yet they will serve 12 hours on the helpline, being accessible to people in need for community care team for crisis intervention.
That's fantastic. Could you say those numbers? And we'll actually repeat them again at the end. And maybe possibly the website, too. I was on last night looking at the website, and it's really beautifully done. There's a lot of information that people can access.
Yeah, we have a as you asked me, I just forgot our helpline number, but I will get that for you.
Right.
But, yeah, people are really responding to the helpline, and we help people not only in need of crisis counseling, but a lot of people come to us for other kinds of needs. We had a person on the island who was disabled and needed to move to another house and had no way of doing that. He was not able to physically get up and move, and we found someone that would come and move him with her two teenage sons. Did all that. They got there and found that nothing was done for the move, and they just packed him up and moved him, and just, again, incredible people stepping up.
Bravo. That is amazing. Yeah. Do you have any other stories you can share with us about how people are helping out in the community?
Sure. On the helpline, we've also had people that have called in for unemployment reasons, and we've hooked them up with people that they need to talk to. Deborah Diamond on Vashon Be Prepared deals with unemployment. And we've had people that have called in and been suicidal and needed help in that respect. And we sometimes, even though we have a 3-call limit, once in a while we'll get someone who just needs a 15-minute call every week. And so one of our therapists is calling that person and talking for 15 minutes every week. So it kind of depends on what the needs of the people are.
Right.
But
and it can cause. Go ahead.
Pardon?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, that was it.
That's our challenge of that phone and, you know, that call in, you know, not knowing the pause and if the person's done yet. It's way different than if I were to have you in the studio. But because of COVID, this is much safer.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
So.
And, you wanted the website.
That would
you
be great.
So the website is www.vashonbeprepared.org/mental health. And our website will then come up, and you'll look under for mental health, and you'll look under for spiritual health. There are a lot of resources on there. There's articles for parents. There's articles for seniors. There's article on current health situations. And what is predicted for the fall is a big surge in mental health needs because of the uncertainty, the ongoing stress, the ongoing isolation. We are looking at a fall campaign, and one of the parts of the campaign, the initial part, will be suicide prevention, because we really want to reach people that are in need at this time.
Right. The pandemic has caused so much increased anxiety, depression, stress, you know, feelings of loss and disconnection because of isolation, and then uncertainty, you know, about the future. How long are we going to be, you know, stuck in our houses or having to wear masks and this sort of thing? And people can reach lows. There's that, you know, that loss. It's really a grief, you know, this collective grief that we're experiencing. Can you discuss a little bit about how people can reach out if there's someone who is dipped down? You know, what can you offer that person?
So, first of all, I'm going to give you the helpline.
Great.
Because I think that's an important resource to have.
Yes.
So we have our own isolated number, which is specific to the helpline, and our providers use the helpline to talk to people when they call in, but they can also call back from that number, so they're not using their own personal numbers, and everything is confidential. So that number is 206-701-0694.
Great.
And what you're going to get when you call that number is a person who can listen to you. Most important thing is listening, help provide resources and referrals if that's what they need. We've received calls in all kinds of different areas. So if someone, there's just such a lot of different types of problems that people call in with, it's hard to say that there's one specific thing.
Right.
But if we look at our data, of course, the most things that come up are anxiety, depression, and feeling uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of our top issues. And unemployment is a huge one.
We
all know what's happening in that world, and it's pretty dire right now.
It really is. And they still haven't come up with something. I think they've pushed it out, you know, till the 1st of September now.
And that's it.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be feeling helpless and hopeless. So thank you so much for starting this suicide prevention campaign, because hopelessness is, you know, I think something that, you know, people may feel just a little bit or may dip into a lot. And when you're dipping into it a lot, you can start having suicidal thoughts. So let's talk about that suicide prevention campaign that you're starting.
So it is just in the initial stages, and we're speaking to exactly what we're speaking to. What we'd like to do is give key people and trusted people the tools to notice the signs of suicide so that they can help the person get help. And it really is a myth that talking to someone about suicide is going to make them think more about suicide. The actuality is that it helps, and even a few sessions with a therapist can help someone to reduce the risk of suicide. But we want to have people know how to talk to someone about it. So
right.
That's going to be part of our campaign, really teaching people in the community what to look for in their loved ones or people that are close to them that they might be able to help.
Let's start with that. What are some of the signs, you know, that we should be watching out for in our loved ones?
Certainly changes in behaviors, certainly patterns of eating, sleeping, unusual things, little signs that they might be dropping about, well, it doesn't matter anyway, or, you know, I'm just going to get rid of all my stuff. Some of the things that a lot of people would think about, trying then to get to listen and get people to talk, because listening and talking are two of the most key things.
Yes, and how can we bring attention and awareness around reaching out? Because I know so many struggle with this alone because they don't want to burden their loved ones. The shame factor kicks in about sharing it with their friends. So how can we reassure someone that, you know, reaching out really is the best thing to do?
So there is a stigma, and we know that it's stigma. And interestingly enough, COVID has somewhat reduced the stigma around mental health because everybody is kind of having problems. So,
Yeah. You
know, you're going to look for the signs. You're going to look for someone who's feeling hopeless, helpless, really anxious, feeling like they're a burden to others. And then you're going to empathize and listen. You're going to remain calm. You're going to be compassionate. Avoid any kind of judgment or advice. Well, if you just do this, everything will be better, those kinds of things. You just want to listen and be compassionate, and this must be so hard for you. this must be hard to talk about, but I'm here to listen. And once you've kind of established that listening environment and that helpful, compassionate, supportive environment, then you can ask directly about, sometimes when people feel hopeless, they're thinking about suicide. Are you thinking about suicide? And you just talk about it directly. But you kind of have to set that compassionate stage first before you don't just jump into, well, you know, are you feeling suicidal? So,
mm-hmm. Right. Can we talk a little bit about that empathy piece a little bit?
Again, it's really being that calm person who has good listening skills and doesn't want to offer advice, doesn't want to be judgmental. Oh, you don't want to do that. Oh, think about what it would do to all the people around you. You want to not offer advice, but you want to hear what they're really saying, hear them talk about their problems, and empathize that how difficult this is and what difficult times everyone is in. And it seems, you know, you're being hit really hard with a lot of things right now, or whatever they are presenting. You want to talk about that a little bit.
Right. There is a great, so can you share the YouTube video that you had all of us watch in preparation for a meeting the other day? You know, being on community engagement,
sure.
I'm kind of blessed
right.
to be part of this. And I thought that that was a fantastic, informative video. And it is on YouTube and anyone can access it. And it was wonderful. If you want more information, I think it's a great informative.
The Suicide Prevention Center at UW, University of Washington, is called Forefront. And the director is Jen Stuber, and she has been very helpful with helping us organize our fall campaign. And she recommended that all of us on our community care team and on the campaign meeting team watch this video, which is called Suicide Prevention Training for Parents and Caregivers. But it's for anybody. It's for anybody anywhere. It's a two-hour webinar. It's actually more like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And if you want to go to that, you can go. It's free, obviously. Go to Forefront, and that YouTube video is listed on there. It'll also be listed on our website.
Oh, great. Oh, that's wonderful. You're putting a link to that on your website. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, can you give that title one more time for those who may not have caught it for YouTube?
Sure. Suicide Prevention Training for Parents and Caregivers. And if you go onto the Forefront website, just look up Forefront and that website will come up. It's listed there. And you can access it either through Forefront or the link that we're going to put on the community care team's website.
Great. And how wonderful that they're helping you out with the campaign here on Vashon. From what I've seen online, they're wonderful. They're doing wonderful work.
So a couple of other resources that I thought might be important just around this campaign.
Sure.
And this one is pretty well known. It's the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and it's in multiple languages and accessible 24/7. Which is the 800 number, 800-273-8255, which is actually 800-273-TALK. That's a good one to have. And then there's another, there's a crisis text line.
Yeah, this is new.
The crisis text line, actually it's been around for over 10 years.
Really?
It's something new to me.
New to me, too.
It appeals particularly to youth because, you know, text is their world.
Yes.
And you text HEAL and then text 741741.
Great. That's text HEAL, that's HEAL, to 741741.
And again, they have therapists online to help you. And we have actually one of our therapists who's on the call line, a local Vashon resident, has been working for this text line for 10 years, and he's the one that told us about it and said it's a very effective way to reach youth, and they get to issues very quickly just through texting. It's hard for us to believe who are used to talking, but apparently it's very effective.
And the youth find it easy to convey feelings and emotions through text because they're not face-to-face.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can say way more via text.
Yeah.
And the percentage of people that actually feel a difference after just a 15-minute call is really high. So if you're feeling low or having thoughts at all, you know, please call. I think it's also important, you know, when we're going through this, to lean on friends and neighbors and family. And even if you haven't done so yet, create a healing team for yourself. You know, someone that you can reach out to in times of need, or a group of people you can just call and check in on each other. There's a group of us that have a text thread going whenever either of us is feeling anything or in need or just wanting to share. You know, we pop on and just shoot out a text.
It's so important to do that. As I said, in one of the top coping skills in times of stress is connection with others. And you can do, it's so easy to do Zoom groups. I have a group that meets every Tuesday evening for a happy hour. And it's a group of women, and we just talk and reach out to each other, and we all look forward to that so much. Or just having the CCT team, a group of therapists that get together every week, and we can talk about personal things, or we can talk about professional things. It's just really important to have those groups. And, of course, you know other kinds of coping strategies, like taking care of yourself, exercising, eating right, sleeping, getting the right amount of sleep. Just those basic things that we do. And through this time, setting some kind of a schedule is important.
Yes.
With your parents. Your parents, you have a whole other set of coping strategies, I'm sure.
And remembering to tap into those, because we're all fatigued right now. Compassion fatigue. We're not really doing much, but I know I'm really tired. You know, I was feeling it this morning. Gosh, you know, I'm really fatigued for not really having done much, you know, and then remembering, okay, how am I self-caring? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I eating healthy? You know, am I not binge watching Netflix? That sort of
thing. And sometimes that can be helpful, but
it can, can't it?
it can, but, yeah, just remembering yourself. And what I hear from a lot of people is, I just feel unfocused today.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely a COVID symptom, because it just impacts so much of your brain that you don't even know about.
Yeah, I think we're functioning full.
Yeah.
We're all walking around topped off.
Yep. And when that happens to me, my best thing to do is to go outside. Take a walk, to go into the woods. That's my place.
Yeah.
But it might be different for someone else.
It is a beautiful time of year to get out into nature, too, and it really does make you feel so much better breathing the fresh air. Even sitting out on your deck, you know, if you're not able to walk, you know, or sitting out on your porch and getting some sunshine. Just a change of scenery, you know, stepping outside of your living room or your kitchen or wherever you happen to be isolating, you know, the most in your home.
And I think that's part of what we're worried about this fall, when it starts getting rainy and gray all the time and you can't be outside as much. And, you know, some hardy souls will be outside every day anyway, but some people just can't do that. So that's where our connections are going to be even more important.
Right. And we know in the Pacific Northwest we have a sad to deal with, you know, if we have an extra gloomy season. So I think, you know, it could be difficult. So it's good to set up those healthy habits now. You know, healthy habits and resources. Right. So let's dive back into your suicide prevention campaign. So you have this great acronym that you got, LEARN, LEARN. And we've gone over a couple of them already. Looking for signs is L. E is empathize and listen. A is ask directly about suicide. Is there anything else you wanted to say about that?
I think just don't be afraid to ask directly about suicide. You have an established relationship with this person, and it's okay to ask. And, you know, of course, then you want to ask, you either want to refer to a professional at that time and say, would you be willing to talk to somebody about this? Or you want to ask, do you have a plan in mind? Do you have a way to make your plan real? Because accessibility and a plan are two pretty significant signs that you want to look for. And then another thing, the R in the LEARN acronym is remove the danger. Mm-hmm. If you have guns in the house, lock up your guns. If you have prescription meds, lock up your medications and don't keep bottles and bottles of pills around and have, you know, 3 months' worth of prescriptions sitting in your medicine cabinet.
Right.
And at this time, a lot of people are ordering prescriptions to have for long term. So just be cognizant and careful of that.
Yeah, having some awareness about where we're keeping things and, you know, how much we have and if we have people in the home, you know, who might be susceptible, you know, as in children, you know. Having those safe locks, and you can have them too where, you know, they just go right to your fingerprint, so it's easy access, you know, and having those extra meds that you might have laying around now because you don't want to run to the pharmacy all the time, mm-hmm. you know, locking those up maybe, you know, as well. That's great advice.
And we're going to talk more about that in our fall campaign. We're going to offer people ideas. I know that at Forefront they offer actually a free lock box for medications and things like that, so...
Oh, great.
Those are things that we can look for coming in the future.
Wonderful. And then N is next level of care. And we kind of went over that already, but it doesn't hurt to get those numbers out a second time and a third time later.
Yeah, the next level of care is, what is the next level of care and where do you go for resources and for help? And, of course, here in Vashon, we have Vashon Youth and Family Services. That's our local mental health center. There are therapists on the island, but as I said, that national number, the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, is 800-273-8255. And that is the one that everybody recommends. If you, there isn't a state number, that is a national number, but it'll take you to people in Washington State that actually talk to you. And then the crisis text line, text HEAL, to 741741.
Wonderful. And then your local number again is 206-701-0694 here on Vashon Island.
Correct.
So, yeah. So let's back to your website. If people mosey on over there, you have How Can We Cope with COVID as, you know, one of your highlights on your website. Can you discuss that a little bit, some coping skills?
So it was a little bit what we were talking about before. How do you personally cope with stress? And then really doing those things, making sure you're getting enough sleep, making sure you're eating good foods most of the time. We all have our little fallbacks, but making sure you're getting exercise, making sure that you have some way to relax, maybe meditation, maybe yoga. As I said, the number one thing is connecting with other people, having those trusted people that you can talk to. And you may have to reach out. They may not come to you, so it's okay to reach out to people and to say, hey, let's talk. Let's have a Zoom visit or something like that. So you really are talking to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Being with your animals. Having a pet is wonderful. I can attest to that during this time. My two dogs are my constant companions, and they provide therapy every day.
Oh, I agree.
Pets are great. Yeah.
Yes. Great. You have other features on your website, too, besides suicide prevention and what we're discussing now is also coping with trauma. You want to kind of dive into that? Because I think our trauma wounds can really get triggered during times like these.
Yes, as you said, this, when you're going through a new trauma, it sort of brings up all the other traumas that you've had. And that's the time when you could call the helpline and talk to someone about it. And if you felt you needed, or if they felt, and you both felt you needed more professional help, they would refer you to a therapist. I think the best thing you can do for that, if you're feeling deeply about that, is to talk to someone, to talk to a professional.
Wonderful. And you had mentioned earlier your Zoom groups. You know, that's a good way to meet up and talk about things that are going on, too. Do you want to talk a little bit more about your support groups on Zoom?
Sure. What we have set up is that these are groups for connecting people. And since we're starting our groups off with isolated seniors, the hope is that they will talk. There's going to be two facilitators, and they will talk about whatever people want to talk about. I mean, maybe it's a guided discussion, maybe it's not a guided discussion. And then the hope is that after five meetings, the people in the group will want to connect themselves. And maybe they'll set up a weekly group meeting, and then we'll go on to have a new group. But we're just hoping to connect people so that they will continue the connections and not feel so isolated. I mean, I think we all know how good you feel if someone just smiles at you, if someone says hello, and if you actually have a conversation with someone, it's even better.
Right.
So setting up a place where that could happen, and some seniors, just they may not know who to reach out to, so we're helping them make new friends.
Oh, that's great. And for those who don't have Zoom, you're doing the phone conferencing.
Correct. Yes. We have a retired psychiatrist, Barry, who's going to be the main facilitator for the phone group, and it's surprising the amount of communicating you can do on the phone.
Yes.
Just like we're doing.
Exactly. And then I want to kind of circle back around to the services offered by spiritual care providers. Could you say a little bit more about that and what they're doing in the community and how they're helping out?
So the spiritual care providers are part of our helpline, and they will talk to people. We know that there's a lot of angst right now, a lot of uncertainty, and that moves over into your spirituality. Our spirituality, in whatever form it takes, is really important to us. And these are experienced people that can talk to you about that. They're willing to set up groups as well. We have not done that yet. We have we're looking into bringing more awareness to this group of people, because they are absolutely wonderful people with a deep experience, and it's not just faith-based. It's in all different avenues of spirituality. As I said, they may set up groups. There's a lot of things to look at on the website in terms of prayers, poems, and spiritual practices. Mm-hmm. And when I go on the website and I look at their part of the website, they have beautiful pictures, and then they have these poems, and it's very uplifting just in and of itself to read some of the things on the website. But if you want to talk to somebody about it, call that extension on the... When you call into the helpline, you'll get two extensions. They'll say, press number one for the mental health extension, and press number two for the spiritual care. So
nice.
It'll get you there directly.
Wonderful.
And I did want to talk a little bit about our CCT toolkit.
Oh, yes. That was going to be my next question. Great.
Oh, good. We're on the same page.
Yes.
So the Medical Reserve Corps set up this testing protocol on Vashon, and they set up a toolkit that they wanted to share with other rural communities, and I was asked as the lead of CCT to set up a toolkit as well to perhaps be a model for other rural communities and tribal nations. So that is what we did. We set up the Community Care Response to Pandemic Toolkit, and it has all the things that I've talked about, all the different parts of what we do in response to COVID. And it's on the website if you actually want to take a look at it. But we have John Osborne, who is the lead for the Medical Reserve Corps, and I and several other people from Vashon Be Prepared have talked to Congress people all over the country about this. We've talked to our local area, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, about our toolkits, And people are very interested. We're trying to get some money through Congress to promote this. And as I said, John Osborne has sort of been the lead in this, and he's done a really good job of alerting people and setting up appointments. And we've had a lot of Zooms with Congress people. We've met with both of our senators from Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we set up the toolkit. But it also tells you, kind of in one document, everything that we've done on CCT in response to the pandemic.
Right. And is that on the mentalhealth.org website, or is that on the Vashon Be Prepared /mentalhealth website?
Both.
Both. Oh, wonderful. That's great.
Yeah.
I've actually got them up right now in front of me, and they really are great. You know, coping with COVID. You've got connect and practice kindness, honor your feelings, but don't let them control you. Ask for help. It really is a great resource. And it also highlights Neighbor Care Behavioral Health Services and the Dove Project and Vashon Youth and Family Services Spiritual Resources Group and you, the CCT, as well as other businesses and things. So I really recommend people popping online and really checking it out and seeing what it has to offer.
And one of the important things for us is that community connection. On our leadership team for CCT is Heidi Jackson, who is the executive director of Dove, Domestic Violence Prevention on the Island.
Yeah, wonderful.
And she has just been incredible in collaborating and getting us connected, because we need to know about all the other social services on the island. What are they doing? We're just there to serve when they can't. We're here to be a response organization. We're not one of the island social security agencies, social services agencies. So it's really important for us to connect with the school counselors, to connect with the other social services on the island and find out what they are doing. We don't want to overreach or overstep. We want to work with them.
Yes. Wonderful. You also have, besides the helpline, resources in Spanish. So that's wonderful that we're reaching a variety of people in our community.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. We have a translator for any documents that we do. The one thing we haven't found yet, which we feel is very much a lack and we're still looking, is a therapist who speaks Spanish. One of our spiritual care providers does speak Spanish, but we don't have any therapists on our helpline that can actually do crisis counseling in Spanish. We have, as I said, people that can translate, but we can't really have a translator on a confidential call.
Right. So if there's a therapist here on Vashon Island who would like to do some volunteer work, please contact Jenna or the community care team. Yes.
That would be wonderful.
All the help we can get.
It's a great need for us to have. But we are reaching out to the Spanish-speaking community.
Wonderful. I think that's really important to keep those connections going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jenna, what else would you like to highlight? We have about 15 minutes left in our show. Is there anything that we've missed that you would like to discuss, or maybe you'd like to read a poem or talk a little bit more about maybe simple tips on how we can improve, you know, and reduce stress?
Let me see.
I think stress is the number one thing going on right now, so a lot of people would benefit from maybe some tips.
Yeah, as you were going over some of the things on our website. I should bring up the website to talk about this, some of the coping skills. And you started off on a list, and there are more skills on that on the website for me to come up with them. Just impromptu is...
Right.
Maybe asking.
Or maybe, you know, identifying stressful triggers. I've just pulled it up. So we're identifying stress. I think a lot of people are in touch right now, and we've had a lot of time to work on ourselves at home and figure out what makes us tick and identify, you know, what our stresses are and what our triggers are. And maybe, you know, changing the way we're thinking about stressful situations and learning how to cope in new ways. You want to speak to that?
So I think probably one of the big stressors for people is being isolated with other people in your family. And that puts a stress on your relationship. Mm-hmm. It stresses the good thing, but it also stresses the things that make you irritated and annoyed. And so what can you do when that happens? And the first thing that comes to mind for me is to take a deep breath, to breathe.
Yes.
And just get yourself in a calmer place. Or if you need to go outdoors, or if you need to get into a different space in the house or something like that, just to take care of yourself so that when you do come back to interact, you're coming from a calmer place and a place that you want to communicate from, so you don't communicate in anger. Our first response is often anger, mm-hmm. to something that irritates us or annoys us. So that deep breathing can be really, really helpful. And there are a lot of sites online that you can look at in terms of meditation, deep breathing, things that will help you just to stay calm.
Yeah, take that deep breath. Take five if you need to. You know, walk around,
yeah.
Ask for a do-over, maybe schedule a later time to talk, you know, and revisit it.
Exactly.
You know? Express your feelings, how you're feeling in the moment, and then ask to come back to it. It's always helpful. I know I was discussing these tips with my boys. I have one fiery son still at home, so we're always going over, you know, things we can do to manage our emotions, you know, so we're not 0 to 100, mm-hmm. and, you know, reacting instead of responding. And I think, you know, everybody just being right there all the time, you know, it does. People, you know, we're, like I said before, we're already topped off. We don't have that luxury anymore of, you know, that ebb and flow of our emotions and what we can tolerate and what we can't, if we're all, our cups are already filled. Yeah. So
that's, and our cups are pretty full right now.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. I think another trigger is the news. Listening to the news,
yeah.
nonstop all day or whenever you get the chance, or watching things unfolding. I know when COVID started, I was on CNN for hours, just, you know, what's going on? What's happening? And I realized what a toll that was taking on me. You want to know the fact, but there's an onslaught of disturbing news, and it's really important to limit your intake. And so I kind of limit myself to an hour a day.
Yeah,
and maybe
I agree.
You take a day off a week where you don't hear any news at all. And go with trusted news sources.
Yes.
And basic news updates, and avoid, you know, that overdosing on pundits and people that are talking about things. So no one needs to watch 24 hours a day.
No.
So I think that's really important, to limit your news intake.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and it really is reinforcing and reviewing over and over and over again, you know. And you have your elderly at home, and, you know, they may be having the TV on. I know I had to call my mom because she was getting so anxious about everything that was going on and so upset, to just, okay, change the channel. You don't need to watch the news every day.
Right.
You know,
right.
Watch it for the highlights, but turn it off when they start talking about, you know, the things that are stressing you out. Yeah.
And I think, you know, we all focus on personal catastrophe. And another thing is kind of keep things in perspective.
Yes.
Really, this is going to be a small moment in time at some point in time and space. And humanity has come through some terrible times. This is a terrible time. But focus on your own strength, what you've done during hard times in your own life, your own resilience. That word resiliency is being thrown about a lot.
Definitely.
And there are ways to build your resilience, which are also your coping strategies.
And through hard times, we build more resiliency. So,
exactly.
There's that.
Exactly. one of the ways we learn to solve problems is through challenging times, that's for sure.
Yes. I think it's important and, yep, to... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that think about all the capable people that are working out there to help us through this. You know, scientists, doctors, nurses, everybody. And
yeah, try to hold on to a little hope.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Because it really is hope that can pull us out of the darkness, for sure.
It is. And maybe this is the time to focus on a new skill. Try doing something different. I know a lot of people that have taken up some form of art or quilting or, you know, there's a lot of new things that maybe you have never tried. It's a good time to do that. A musical instrument, a foreign language, I don't know. I've been baking more. Since we've had to stay at home, I've been cooking more.
Yes, I've noticed on Facebook a lot of people are really getting back to basics and baking and growing their own garden or enlarging their garden, spending more time, you know, in their larger garden with their flowers and that sort of thing, or, you know, dipping into old hobbies that they hadn't done in a long time and revisiting those and, you know, all sorts of creative things going on.
And, yeah, you're going to come out of it with a new skill or new skills or a new passion. So I think that's a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we haven't really talked about, and I don't know if you want to talk about, but I keep thinking my kids are grown, but I think of parents at home with kids this whole time. That's got to be a stressful thing.
It is.
And how do you cope with that? And there's a little bit about that, a couple of resources on the website. And,
talk a little bit about that for our parents. Because
there's
a lot of stress coming up here again soon for us. So I think tapping into that is important.
So some tips for building emotional resilience in kids. And of course you all know this one. Spend quality time with your kids. When I was doing therapy with kids, one of the things that they asked for the most in their family was to spend more time with their parents. Yeah. And even though they had a plethora of other problems, that was what they wanted most. And so that quality time is really important. Doesn't mean you have to be with them 24/7, but you can either schedule time or it might come up just to build that emotional strength. And instead of rushing to solve problems, give the kids time to work them out themselves.
Yes.
I know that parents know most of these things already, but we'll just kind of review them.
It's good to review those.
And acknowledge your own mistakes to teach kids that, you know, mistakes are part of learning. They're essential to us, and they're part of growing. You make mistakes, and then you learn how to fix it, and move on. Talk about feelings with your kids. Talk about coping skills and how, you know, their stress and how you can do things about that stress or what you can do about that stress so that your child learns to share their worries and their fears with people that they trust. That's really important because if you don't talk about your feelings, they're not going to feel safe talking about their feelings.
Yes, and they do have a lot of feelings about what's going on right now. And it's
exactly
good to open up those conversations.
Absolutely. And when children experience failure or disappointment, it's always important to praise their efforts and encourage them to try again. That try again, you know. If the child can't find a solution to a problem, then you can use gentle questioning to help guide them toward it. You don't want to tell them what to do, but you can be a guide in the process and do that in an encouraging way rather than, well, you should do this way.
Right.
And
getting curious also, and asking questions, and then it teaches them to do the same.
Exactly. And the same things that you're doing for yourself. Make sure your kids are eating well, getting enough exercise, and sleeping well, because those are things that you do have control over with your kids. I think those are. And encourage them to connect perhaps in different ways than they've been connecting before, because getting together in groups isn't going to work really well.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons we started the parenting group. And what they do in the parenting group, it's called the Hive Method, where you bring up a problem and then you all talk about solutions, and then you go back and try the solutions that you may not have thought of before to a particular problem. Yeah. It's my co-facilitators have said it's just a really good group and people are really learning a lot. So
it's
a drop-in parenting group.
What was that?
It's a drop-in parenting group. And
how do people access that?
So right now, they're doing their first group. They're calling it a trial group, and they're going to start opening up in probably about 2 weeks. And at that time, if you call the helpline number, they can help you get set up with that.
Oh, great. And that helpline number again was 206-701-0694. And can they also help our community members and seniors with those Zoom calls or conference calls as well as other things?
Yes, that's right. One way to get connected. We're taking sign-ups online, or not online, sorry, on the phone calls and signing people up. The other way I think I talked about is we're reaching out to senior centers and doing personal reaching out to people that might have been recommended. But just in general, seniors can call the helpline and we will get you set up and connected to the facilitators.
Wonderful. And again, those websites are mentalhealth.org and VashonBePrepared/ for our
mental health.
Yeah, mental health. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was looking for it.
Right.
Great. And then any other numbers you want to share? You know, we have a few more minutes. Why don't we go ahead and share the national number again for those who might need it, because you do have that campaign coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to learning more, and I'm excited about the increased awareness and education around suicide prevention.
So the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, as it's called, is 1-800-273-8255.
Wonderful. And that text again was HEAL at, you text HEAL, H-E-A-L.
Right. To 741741.
Great.
And that's the crisis text line. And I think those are, you know, for right now, those are the main numbers. There's also a King County crisis line, which...
Wonderful. Jenna, thank you so much for everything that you're doing, and thank you to everyone in the community and on the community care team.
Yes, it's certainly not me alone. We have 28 members on our care team right now. When we started the response to COVID, we had 2 members. So, as I said, community members have stepped up, and I'm working with a fantastic group of people. A couple of weeks ago, our team was highlighted and thanked by Vashon Be Prepared and pictures in the newspaper. So that's our team, and, you know, it's a lot of people. We're looking at a slogan called, It Takes an Island.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? It takes an island, and how blessed we are to be on Vashon.
That's exactly right, and I really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you and be on your wonderful show.
Thank you so much, Jenna. It's been a pleasure to having you. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jenna. And thank you, everyone, for joining me today on Raise the Vibe. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you get out there and raise the vibe. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Have a great day.